March 21st, 2020 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kotkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which today is an appeal of a notice and order. I'll consider any evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials already on file, in order to make my decision. I'd note for the record, the first item on the agenda is going to be continued. So my reference to the procedure is going to be just simply related to the second item on the agenda. How we're going to proceed with this matter is that I will make an introduction, and then I will turn this over to the appellant to present their evidence and argument that they wish to. Then I'll turn it over to the county. Because the appellant does have the burden of proof in this matter, then I'll turn it over to the county to make whatever arguments and present whatever evidence that they wish to make. And then I will turn it over to the appellant to make whatever rebuttal arguments that they wish to make. This is a matter that is between the county and the appellant. I see that there are members of the public here today that are interested. This is a public meeting, but no members of the public will be allowed to testify unless they're called as a witness, either by the appellant or by the county, because the notice and order is based upon the evidence that the county had when they issued the notice and order, and then the appeal is based upon the appellant's position regarding that. So it's not a matter for public participation in this hearing, other than you can observe. If there's a need, I can keep the record open following this hearing if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision on that matter will be heard with it, will be made within 10 working days of me closing the record. I've reviewed the item on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in the property or the proposal to be heard today, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider the item on today's agenda. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report and all the materials that have been forwarded to me, both by the applicant and by the county, I've not had any communication regarding the item that's on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as a hearing examiner, you need to state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to, as I said, the first item on today's agenda, conditional use permit 20-008. This is a matter, has an application for the addition of 13 RV sites and operation of a minor RV park in the Cashmere area. The county and the applicant have stipulated to a continuance of this matter until November 21, 2020, regularly scheduled hearing examiner's meeting at 1 p.m. So if you're here for that conditional use permit application, we're not going to hear that today. It'll be on November 21st. Turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is
actually Mr. Kotkamp. Can I jump in real quick? Because I was representing Dale Jones with respect to the CUP application. And I just want to clarify the date, because Jamie Strether had indicated that the hearing date was going to be November 18th at 1 p.m. So I just want to clarify what the date is, because you had referenced November 21st, but her email to the group earlier today said November 18th.
It is November 18th. I am sorry. You're correct. So it's continued to the regularly scheduled hearing examiner's meeting of November 18, 2020. Thank you, Ms. Green. All right. So we'll turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is a application number AA20-005. This is an appeal by Karma Ventures of a June 23rd, 2020 notice and order issued by Chelan County to Karma Ventures. The appeal was timely filed, so that's why we're here today. Admitted into the record will be the staff report that was prepared in this matter. There's appeal materials submitted by the appellant. There is file materials for CE 11-056. There are the prior decisions on this matter that have been submitted by the appellant. Those are admitted into the record. There's the appellant's letter of October 15, 2020, and the county's response to the notice of appeal, their response dated October 19, 2020 with attachments, exhibits A and B. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file or the entire file of AA20-005 into the record at this time by this reference. I've introduced the matter, so we will turn this matter over to the appellant for the appellant's presentation.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Kontkamp. My name is Michelle Green. I'm here from Gatens Green Weidenbach, address 305 Applets Way, Cashmere, Washington. With respect to the record, I did want to confirm that we had requested that the entire files regarding CUP 2005-008 and 2005-009 and the amendments to those permits be admitted into the record. And I wasn't clear, you had indicated that the appeal file was admitted, but I wanna make sure that that the entire permit files, the underlying permit files are admitted as well, along with the USB drive that we had previously provided to you that had a response from the county to a public records request.
So, okay, yeah, I forgot about that USB drive. That was a lovely thing.
And we don't expect you to have reviewed all of that.
It was anyway, I will admit into the record, as you had requested, I was looking at my materials, CUP, the file for CUP 2005-08, 2005-09, and the amendments, as well. Those files of record, as well as requested by the appellant, all those will be admitted into the record as well as the USB. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you. Do I need to be sworn in? I'll be providing both argument and testimony.
Well, then yeah, I will have to swear you in as a witness. Would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm or depend on perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you. And what would you like to tell me?
As I'm sure the hearing examiner is aware, just from the extent of the pre-hearing briefing and the fact that the prosecutor's office is appearing on behalf of the county in this matter, this is not a typical code enforcement appeal. There's a lot at stake. There is a significant business that is at risk, and it's a multi-million dollar business that is at stake if the county's code enforcement violation order is allowed to stand. Karma's business would essentially be shut down. So this is a very significant issue that's before you today. Not that all issues that you're deciding aren't significant, but we would just ask that you review this with an objective mind and impartial, as you always do. I wanna start with going through the timeline, because there is a long timeline in this matter. There's a long history with the permit and various actions with the county. With respect to Karma and its business. As I'm sure you're aware, because I believe you were the hearing examiner when the permits were initially issued, in 2005, Karma obtained CUPs 2005-008 and 009 for operation of a winery and for places of public and private assembly. Those uses were fully developed and continued by the applicant and have not been abandoned in any way. So all uses under those permits have been developed by the applicant. Those CUPs did provide that no restaurant facilities or on-site food preparation was allowed at that time. In 2008, October of 2008, the Board of County Commissioners adopted Resolution 2008-141, which amended the definition of winery to include food and beverage service and allowed for the on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverages for activities and uses that are accessory to places of public and private assembly within the definition of a winery. At that time, or shortly thereafter, Karma began operating an on-site food preparation and service operation as part of its overall plan, accessory to its winery. At some point, years after that, there was a complaint that was issued by, I believe, a neighboring property owner. And on July 25th, 2011, the county sent Karma a code enforcement letter, a notice of violation, indicating that Karma was in violation of the CUPs. And I want to point out that timeline specifically with reference to the timeline in the staff report. In the staff report, staff has concluded that in August of 2008, both of the original CUPs expired, but that is not consistent with the file materials, which demonstrate that in 2011, the county took action to enforce those CUPs, claiming that CARMA didn't have the benefit of the resolution that was adopted in 2008 because its existing CUPs were still in full force. As a result of that code enforcement issue, which was contested at that time, Don Dimmitt at JDSA represented the applicant and CARMA and argued that they should have the benefit of being a use that would be outright permitted pursuant to that 2008 resolution. But the county's position was firm on that issue, that the existing CUPs, the original CUPs, were in full force and effect, and that therefore the on-site food preparation and service was prohibited under those CUPs. In order to remedy that issue, CARMA then applied for an amendment to the CUPs, which was a hearing that came before you again as well. And in 2012, the hearing examiner approved amendments to the CUPs, which did authorize the on-site food preparation and service. There's multiple references throughout that CUP decision, throughout the amended CUP decision of the 18 Bricks restaurant. And there was references in those amended CUPs that the point of the amended CUPs was to get CARMA into compliance so that all uses that were currently existing at the subject property were then approved and in compliance and pursuant to those amended CUPs. Those amended CUPs did have conditions, the staff report has noted various of those conditions that were not timely satisfied by the applicant. Some of those were not correct in that they were satisfied, one of those being that there was a review hearing held on August 1st, 2012. That was one of the points that the county has raised as far as lack of compliance. Next in the timeline, I want to point out that in January 2018, the commissioners revisited the resolution and changed the definition of winery or a food and beverage service, to mean catered food or prepackaged food for activities and uses that are accessory to places of public and private assembly, wineries, and other similar uses. And at that time in 2018, removed the reference to on-site food preparation. I point out again that in reference to the staff report timeline, because the staff report claims that in 2015, the amended CUPs expired for lack of compliance with conditions. Those conditions being a failure to timely submit a landscaping plan, not installation of the landscaping, but failure to submit a plan or confirmation of the landscaping to the county, failure to apply for and obtain a use conversion permit, and a failure to submit a amended traffic study. All of those being not uses on the property, but rather written submittals to the county that were conditions pursuant to the hearing examiner's original amended CUP decision. In November of 2018, CARMA was contacted by the county, received a correction notice with respect to an issue with the commercial kitchen drains that were allegedly causing sewer problems. CARMA, in response to that, installed a grease trap after receiving that correction notice and provided evidence thereof to the county, which appeared to satisfy the county because we didn't hear anything further. CARMA didn't hear anything further after that. Then in September of 2019, CARMA was issued a notice of violation. The notice of violation alleged that CARMA had failed to satisfy various conditions from the amended CUPs, that CARMA had failed to install a grease trap, and that the failure of the failure to timely satisfy the written conditions meant that the CUPs expired and were no longer in effect, and that therefore the entire operation of CARMA was not allowed under the then current 2019 code and must be ceased. CARMA immediately responded to that and indicated that it was ready, willing, and able to comply with all of the conditions that were outstanding. It acknowledged that there were various written conditions that were outstanding, including the use conversion permit application, the landscaping plan, and the amended traffic study. Over the next several months, Karma had hired me to assist with the compliance issues. And over the next several months, we submitted all of those materials to the county. On October 9th, Karma submitted information to the county that demonstrated that the grease interceptor had been properly installed. In November of 2019, Karma submitted documentation that demonstrated the landscaping requirement had been met. In February of 2020, Karma submitted an updated traffic impact analysis, which satisfied condition number 21. And finally, in June of 2020, Karma submitted a use conversion permit application. The county immediately responded to the use conversion permit application with a refusal to process the application, indicating that it could not process the application because, again, the permits had been determined to be void. All of the outstanding conditions under the permit have, under the amended permits, have now been complied with, but the county continues to refuse to recognize compliance, refuses to accept submittals, and continues to claim that the amended permits are expired and are void. The standard, the key issue before the hearing examiner today is, what is the standard for determining whether or not the CUPs are expired? The county points to the fact that the conditions weren't satisfied, and therefore that means the use was not completely developed. But a written submittal and a submission of an amended traffic impact study is not a use. A use is the purpose for which development or the building or whatever the underlying permit, the use is for the authorized purpose of that operation. And in this case, the use is development of a winery, a vineyard, a tasting room, on-site food preparation and service accessory to that winery. Those uses have been in full operation. The on-site food preparation has been in full site or in full operation since 2008. And again, in 2008, Karma was under the impression that they were covered by the resolution that was adopted by the commissioners. So the restaurant has actually been, the restaurant and food service operations have actually been operating since 2008 prior to the issuance of the amended CUPs. I point you to the standard because the county has a very strict reading of what they believe the standard for expiration would be, and that is that a failure to timely submit a written material as a condition under a permit somehow means that there's a use that has not been developed. And that's simply not the standard in the code, and that's not the standard in your decisions. And I wanna point you to an email that's in the record dated November 7th, 2019 among staff where the county is expressly acknowledging that distinction, indicating that hopefully the hearing examiner will start using the phrase, quote, permit is void if all conditions are not satisfied within 3 years, and stop using the phrase permit is void if the use is not completely developed within 3 years. So the county is aware of this.
I'd like to object to that.
What's your basis?
My basis is that is a protected attorney-client privilege exchange between Susan Hinkle of the prosecutor's office and staff and community development. I have not reviewed all the contents of the USB drive. I assume that's what is being referred to here. But I'm going to object particularly to that exchange being included.
Ms. Green?
Yes, Mr. Kotkamp, as you're aware, we originally continued this hearing from the first date set. Ms. Hinkle and I stipulated to a continuance, and in her drafted stipulation, indicated that the purpose was to allow the county time to resolve the issue of these alleged inadvertently disclosed documents. I followed up multiple times with Ms. Hinkle asking if she intended to seek a protective order. The county has not sought a protective order. Our position is that the county has waived the privilege, and we've made that position clear to the county because they submitted a full response to our public records request that contained a number of other documents and took no precautions under Washington state law to exclude exempt documents or otherwise. Either way, that, you know, the document, whether or not the hearing examiner decides to consider that document, is certainly your decision. I don't know how you feel about ruling on a privilege issue or not, but
I'm going to rule on an evidentiary issue. And I haven't been privy to all the communications between the county and to the applicant, but I can't imagine that the county, I can't imagine that this disclosure is anything other than inadvertent, and it is not proper evidence in this case. So subject to any further court order, I'm going to exclude all communications between the county attorney and county staff in this matter. Now, if a protective order is sought, or if in any event, if a court comes back to me and says, no, Mr. Kottkamp, you need to consider those items as well, then I will follow whatever order a court is going to give me. But at this point, I can't imagine that that this was anything other than a mistake. I don't believe that I don't have the evidence in front of me to show some sort of a waiver. The county is now making a request that they not be considered. It would have been nice if that request had been made sooner than right now. But in any event, I am going to exclude as evidence in this hearing, and I will not consider, even though it may have already been submitted, any communications between the county attorney and county staff, their clients.
And Mr. Kottkamp, can I provide or request just a bit of clarification on that ruling? Am I correct that those documents will be included in the record to the extent that this matter does go up on appeal, but your ruling is that you are not considering them as part of your decision based on the hearing today? Is that correct?
No, they are excluded from the record. So if I have to go through and, which I probably will, and say this is what is not part of the record, then I will do that. But just broadly right now, I'm saying that those attorney-client privilege communications are not part of the record. It will, and unless the court tells me otherwise, will not be going up on any appeal of any decision that I make, whether that appeal is by the county or by the appellant, or hopefully nobody.
Understood. So I want to jump back to then the standard again for determining whether or not a permit is void. That standard is not a permit is void if all conditions are not satisfied within 3 years. Rather, the phrase is the permit is void if the use is not completely developed within 3 years. And again, our position on that, and which is consistent with the county code, which defines use, and that definition was included in our written submittals to you previously, is that CARMA's use of the property, all uses authorized under the original CUPs and the amended CUPs have been completely developed by CARMA, and its permits are not expired. Even if the hearing examiner accepts the county's position, which we would urge you not to do, even if the hearing examiner does accept the county's position that the failure to timely satisfy written conditions under CUPs renders permits void within 3 years of issuance, the violation order should still be reversed, because that would mean that CARMA's uses are grandfathered in as legal nonconforming uses. I want to jump back to the staff report, which asserts that in August of 2008, both of the original CUPs expired. If that was true, then CARMA's operations would fall under Resolution 2008-141 and would now be grandfathered in as legal nonconforming uses for the on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverages for activities and uses that are accessory to places of public and private assembly. That the determination in the staff report today that the original CUPs are expired as of August of 2008 is wholly inconsistent with the county's position in 2011 when they sought enforcement of those CUPs in an effort to preclude CARMA from having the benefit of the resolution that was adopted by the county commissioners. And again, as you'll recall, there was a great deal of argument within the amended CUPs hearings on that issue because CARMA's counsel asserted that the resolution did apply to CARMA and that therefore that overrode the original prohibition in the original CUPs. So even if we accept the position of the county today, which again is inconsistent with their position in 2011, even if we accept the position of the county today that the original CUPs expired in 2008, then CARMA should be grandfathered in as a legal non-conforming use, just like the other neighboring properties that have full service on-site food preparation and service in connection with their winery. Those, their neighboring properties like the Siren Song Winery is in exactly the same position as CARMA then, which has a full service restaurant accessory to their winery allowed under the 2008 resolution that is now a legal non-conforming use grandfathered in notwithstanding the 2018 amendment. Even if then we assume, well, somehow the amended CUPs changed that legal non-conforming status because the hearing examiner then issued an amended CUP decision that covered the on-site food preparation and service. Even then, the county's position is that, well, those amended CUPs expired in 2015. Again, in that case, then there's a three-year period before the commissioners changed the resolution in 2018. There's a three-year period then that CARMA was legally operating under the then current resolution, which allowed food and beverage service, on-site food preparation accessory to a winery. The county wants to distinguish that and say there's no, not only are the CUPs expired and there's no ability for CARMA to continue operating under the CUPs, notwithstanding that we've complied with all the conditions as of today, the county wants to say that there's also not legal non-conforming use status because it's a restaurant and a restaurant has never been permitted under the code. The difference is that what the commissioners approved was on-site food preparation service as an accessory use to a winery, which is exactly what CARMA's doing and it's exactly what Siren Song and other wineries within the region are doing as well. It is not a standalone restaurant as contemplated under the code. It's a restaurant accessory to a winery, which was permitted between 2008 and 2018. I'd like to also ask now, just going through my list here, we have former Chelan County Commissioner Buell Hawkins here today with us, and he's going to provide some testimony regarding the 2008 resolution and its scope and his experience during his time as a commissioner with that issue. And so I'd like to introduce Buell Hawkins, former Chelan County Commissioner, to provide some testimony in that regard.
All right, sir, can you state your full name just for the record and an address for you?
Buell Evan Hawkins, Jr., 1845 Maple Street, unit number 10, Wenatchee, Washington.
All right, Mr. Hawkins, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to tell me, sir?
Can I stand, Mr. Kottkamp?
You can do whatever you want.
Well, as Mr. Kottkamp knows, I was commissioner from 2001 to 2008. I was present and involved with the growth of the winery industry in Chelan County. When I became a commissioner, there were only two wineries in Chelan County. When I left in 2008, there were 39. The entire purpose of our involvement as commissioners with the winery industry was to help it grow and prosper. We saw it as a catalyst to a continued economic development within our county. And that's why I'm disappointed to be here today. Because during the time I was commissioner, our legislative intent, and we were running as fast as we could to create enabling legislation to allow the wineries to grow and prosper. Our intent and our direction to the community development department was to work with the wine grape industry and with wineries to enable them to grow. If there was a situation where there was somebody out of compliance with the code, we asked them to work with the winery to bring them into compliance so that operation could continue and continue to provide a catalyst for economic growth, pay taxes, pay poverty taxes, sales taxes. That's why I'm disappointed today, because what I have seen in the record is an objective, if you will, to not to help the winery grow and prosper, but to shut it down. And it was not the intent of the commissioners in 2001 through 2008 to allow that to happen. We worked very hard to keep those wineries open and to open additional wineries. So I've reviewed the record. I've seen community development code enforcement working across purposes with this winery. This winery was trying to comply, trying to do everything it possibly could to remain open. And instead, I see the community development code enforcement working to shut it down. For what reason, I have no idea. Certainly it was not the value of this winery or this establishment to the county. And I saw it as also a terrible opportunity cost. For all the time and effort that our community development department, our code enforcement was working, trying to shut this operation down, they could have been working on far worse and more egregious code violations within the county instead of working on this one. So I'm disappointed that I'm even here today, and I hope the code enforcement officer would realize that. I hope the hearing examiner would realize that we want to keep businesses like Karma Canyon open. Thank you. Anything you want to ask,
Mr. Hawkins?
No, I don't think so.
Mr. Hearing Examiner, I'd like to object to the totality of Mr. Hawkins' testimony on the basis that it's irrelevant to the question of whether code enforcement violations have been occurring.
The objection's overruled. The evidence will be, that evidence will be admitted.
Thank you, sir.
Anything further from the applicant or from the appellant?
Yes, so Mr. Kotkamp, I'd now like to turn to the plumbing system issues. It's an ancillary issue, but it is one, the key issue is the status of the permits and the status of whether or not the permits are expired and whether or not Karma's uses are grandfathered in as legal non-conforming uses. But we do want to respond to the allegations that the plumbing system is out of compliance. So as I had started to go through on the timeline, so in November of 18, Karma was contacted by the building inspector with a correction notice with respect to alleged sewer problems being caused by its commercial kitchen. Thereafter, Karma did install a grease trap after receiving that correction notice and provided evidence of that to the county. When we received the notice of violation in September of 2019, one of those alleged violations was that Karma had failed to install a grease trap or an adequate grease trap. Again, thereafter, in October of 2019, we submitted evidence that did show that Karma had, in fact, installed that grease trap. After that, there was a long exchange of emails between myself and, I believe, Ms. Hallman and Mr. Brown regarding what exactly the county's issue was with the commercial kitchen, notwithstanding the allegations of the status of the permits. Eventually, what we got from that was, and this email is also in the file, I think we attached it to our administrative appeal, was a response from the county staff that the issue was that we had not obtained permits. We had not obtained plumbing and mechanical permits for that installation. We responded that we didn't believe those were required under the code. We asked the staff to point us to where in the code those permits were required or where in the CUPs themselves the hearing examiner had required that. Basically the staff just responded that permits are required. So in response to that, we asked for the county to send us applications for those permits that were required. And the county told us they won't process them even if we submit them because again, the underlying CUPs are expired according to county staff. We stand ready, willing, and able to submit any plumbing permit applications that may be required if the hearing examiner determines they are required. It doesn't appear to me, based on my review of the code or the underlying code sections with respect to the International Mechanical Code or the Uniform Plumbing Code, it doesn't appear to me that there are permits required. But again, to the extent that the hearing examiner determines that they are, we are ready, willing, and able to do that. I don't have the exact date, but I know the hearing examiner is aware that at some point thereafter, the Lake Chelan Sewer District submitted a letter to the hearing examiner indicating that there was not a permit issue, but rather claiming that there was something occurring on the Karma property that was damaging the sewer line. In response to that, and I spoke with Chuck Zimmerman, who indicated that if we submitted evidence that that there was no issue or that our system was up to code, they wouldn't have any further objections. We did, in response to that, Karma did hire two professionals to inspect and evaluate the system. We submitted copies of those reports and the videos taken. Not that any of us want to watch videos of the inside of a sewer line. So I don't know whether you've looked at them or not, but they are in the record. And so those are in the record. We haven't received any further response from the Lake Chelan Sewer District on that issue. I haven't heard anything further from Mr. Zimmerman or his client as to further concerns on that. But those reports and videos did conclusively, according to those professionals, establish that Karma's plumbing system and mechanical system is up to code, and it is not causing effluent or other issues with the main line. And today we do have one of those professionals here who had prepared that report, inspected the system. His name's Jeff Logg. And I would just ask Jeff to introduce himself, and the hearing examiner can swear him in. And then Jeff can just give a brief synopsis of what work you did as far as your inspection and what your findings were.
Could you just please state your name and spell your last for the record?
Jeffrey L. Logg, L-O-G-G, 44 McKenna Lane, East Wenatchee, Washington.
Hi, Mr. Logg, would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you. What would you like to tell me?
Well, I was contacted to come up and to verify that the plumbing system is installed properly and that the grease trap is installed properly and sized appropriately for the sink. I did all those things. I went up and took the model number off of the grease trap and researched it, and it is appropriate for the size of sink that they have there. The flow rates are all within the margins. I also cameraed from inside the kitchen out to the manhole right behind the kitchen. And then from that point, I cameraed from that manhole to within about 4 feet of the manhole down by the road. I took my locator and found the end of my camera, which is a capability of the camera. And so I knew where I was underground. And there was no evidence of any deformities in the pipe or any blockages of any kind or anything abnormal with the plumbing system.
Yep.
That's it.
So,
for the record, what was the date that you performed your services?
I don't have that. Do you remember that name?
I believe that might be in the record in our letter.
I know that's probably in the record. I just wondered if Mr. Logg knew when he did it.
No.
The date of Mr. Logg's letter was September 14th, 2020. And my recollection was that he had inspected within 1 or 2 weeks prior to that.
Yes.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Logg?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Green?
Great. Thank you. Yes. So did the hearing, we do have a little bit more of testimony we want to offer, but I did want to make sure and check with you to see if you have any questions for us on either the plumbing issues or with respect to the permit timelines or any of those issues, anything that we can answer right at the moment.
No, I understand your position. Thanks.
So, you know, I think it goes without stating that this is a significant case and there's a lot at stake here. I would ask Ms. Pitzinger, Julie Pitzinger, to provide some testimony in that regard about her business, about her experience over the last several years with the actions of the county and her efforts to come into compliance, and let her provide some testimony in that regard.
All right, could you please state your name for the record?
Julie Pitzinger.
How do you spell your last name?
Pitzinger.
All right, what's an address for you?
1681 South Lakeshore Road, Chelan.
All right, thank you. Would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to tell me?
I would just briefly like to talk a little bit about the business that I've run for the last almost 14 years. I employ just under 30 folks. And it's hard for me to talk because it's bigger than a business to me. It has been a process that transcends just going to work every day. I feel like Karma has become not only an employer, but a very large part of the Chelan community. In doing 40, 50 weddings a summer, you could imagine the amount of ancillary support we give the community in terms of hotels and restaurants. And we've always believed that we were a community player and part of a bigger solution. And so when I share this with you, I know my very brilliant attorney had a ton of facts to share with you. What I want to share with you is the heartbeat and what this really means to me and my staff, my family, and our community. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Kotkamp, but when I first applied for the preliminary plat, I think you were the hearing examiner that I spoke with, yes?
I don't recall a preliminary plat, but there's been a lot of matters in front of me.
Yeah, I absolutely know that. But I do remember the first time I met you, and it was in 2007, and I had never developed a property before. And so about 5 days before my preliminary plat meeting, I was called by my neighbors. And, you know, they sounded just so very gracious and invited me over to explain, hey, what are you doing? Tell us about this Karma plant. So this was before, obviously, one shovel of dirt had been moved. So I walk across the street with my blueprints. I lay it all out and I explain everything in detail. This is the plan. And they shook my hand, they gave me a hug, and they said, best of luck. And that was that. 5 days later, I walked into the hearing room, and I think that's what you call it, and with my civil engineer, and began to present the plat to you. And I remember you saying to me, or asking me questions, and me not understanding why you were asking me these questions. And then you turned to my planner and you said, does Ms. Pitzinger know that all these people are here because they signed a petition to stop this development yesterday? And I was stopped in my tracks. And the reason I bring this up is because what's happening here, and some of the people named here, are the exact same people that wanted to stop my business in 2007-08 when I began this whole venture. And if precedent proves that the county's staff report is usually the way this goes, I'm gonna ask you, what happens if they're wrong? What happens if this political hit job to Karma has an agenda that none of us understand? And I think that might be true, at least in this room. So I beg you to look at this matter as objectively as possible. And please understand that this affects way more than what you see in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Green?
We don't have anything further. We would just ask that based on all the evidence in the record and the testimony that you've heard today, that you reverse the violation order and allow Karma to continue operating its business. We've indicated that to the extent there are any outstanding conditions, which we don't believe there are, that we're willing to comply with those. And to the extent that you determine there's any issues with lack of a plumbing permit or with the plumbing system itself, Karma is ready, willing, and able to do that. It wants to comply with the code, but it wants to continue operation of its 14-year business. And it's a significant business employing dozens of people. So there's lots of livelihoods at stake. So this is a significant code enforcement issue. And we just ask that you consider the record thoroughly and as objectively as possible. And we appreciate your time on this. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Is the county ready to proceed?
We are.
All right, could you state your name for the record?
I'm Marcus Foster. I'm the deputy prosecutor for Chelan County.
Mr. Foster, will you be providing any testimony today?
It might stray in that direction, so I better be sworn in.
All right, Mr. Foster, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to tell me, sir?
All right, I'd like to start off by addressing a few points that Ms. Green made. I think she did a good job of reciting the facts or some of the facts as truthfully as possible. So I'm not going to rehash the facts a whole lot, but this is a typical code enforcement action. It absolutely is. There's no animus on behalf of the county. The county has received a large number of complaints regarding sewage backups from the sewer district, from neighbors and other parties about noise and so forth. And I recognize that Karma Canyon did get some CUP amendments to deal with some noise issues. So that's not before the hearing examiner. But my point in bringing it up is that we have a significant number of problems going on this property, and the community, especially the people in the area that are affected by this, have a strong interest in seeing that they're corrected. So to the extent that there's any allegation that we're acting out of animus, it's just simply not true. My job is to uphold the code violations that are alleged, and I'm going to ask you at the end of this to do that. The main points here are there's some ancillary issues, as Ms. Green called them, the grease traps and so forth that I'll address briefly. But to start off with, Ms. Green didn't hardly once mention or at all mention the definition of the word restaurant. Now, something is already defined in the code as a restaurant, and it has been so defined at all pertinent points, meaning before at least 2008. To my knowledge, significantly before that, a restaurant has been defined. A food and beverage service was later added. So the appellant is attempting to confuse those two terms. They've admitted that they're running a restaurant, but wants you to consider their food and beverage service operation, to consider it that, when in fact it's a restaurant, which they have on several occasions admitted. And there's extensive evidence in the record of a restaurant occurring there, a restaurant being on that property. Food service, for example, could be caterers bringing in food and heating it up at the Karma facility and using it for weddings and other events. That's perfectly legal. Now, the other thing that wasn't mentioned is that the county is not alleging that the commercial kitchen itself is illegal. It's not. They can make products ancillary to their wine production. They could be making jams and any number of uses. But a restaurant simply has never been allowed in this region, in this zone. The rural residential zones have never allowed restaurants. So that leads into the definition or the argument of a non-conforming use. Now, as the user are well aware, a non-conforming use is called a legal non-conforming use because it includes concept that all permits must be acquired and the establishment or use must be legal in all other ways to establish that non-conforming status. Now, the county's position is that because Karma has never established a legal restaurant, they, by definition of non-conforming, are not a non-conforming use. They never, simply were never a legal operation. Now, there are other operations there are not before the hearing examiner at this point, but their wedding operations are not being contested at this point. They can bring in outside food and have it, I suppose, heated up, as I said, at the in the commercial kitchen, but it's simply not an allowed use. There's a little bit of a confusing history with these CUPs. I won't go over it too much, but the CUPs that you authorized as hearing examiner authorized in 2012 food and beverage service. Food and beverage service was distinctly defined in the code as a separate operation or use from restaurants. And we, of course, presume, and I believe that you knew what you were doing when you said that food and beverage operations were allowed. Prior to 2008, they were not allowed. And after those, the amendment and the CUP were submitted, they became legal. Now, there's an argument that a CUP somehow authorized this restaurant, which again conflates the terms food and service, food and beverage service with restaurant. But even if the hearing examiner purported to authorize a restaurant, which it did not, which you did not, it would still not be legal because the hearing examiner cannot authorize a use which is illegal in the zone under any circumstances. It would be as if you were to claim that you had the authority to permit a junkyard in a residential zone. It's simply not allowed under any circumstances. Restaurants have never been allowed in the rural residential zone. So I'd like to turn to some of the issues of the grease trap and so forth. I think there's extensive evidence in the record about that there have been backups and stoppages and complaints about grease. If the hearing examiner would allow me, I'd like to, we received an email at about 11 a.m. today to Ms. Hallman from a neighbor of Karma. I would like to ask that this could be emailed to you, the hearing examiner, and Ms. Green. And it could be, of course, subject to any objections he has, but it's just a reciting that there have been issues with Karma and that they have had sewage backups in their home and that insurance paid out on that sewage backup caused by Karma. This is from Ms. Claire Jenkins. So Mr. Hearing Examiner, with your permission, I'd like to ask that I can have this email to you at this time.
Well, I'm, Ms. Green, you can jump in after I say this, but I'm not certain. Let me, I guess, ask you this question. Was Ms. Jenkins disclosure set forth in that letter, were that relied upon by the county when the county issued its notice and order?
This letter itself, no.
Yeah, so I mean, I really try to keep this related to what you relied upon when you issued the notice and order, and not to new evidence or new information. And so my inclination is to not allow that evidence to come in, but I'll allow Ms. Green to comment.
Mr. Plunkett. We would agree with the hearing examiner's synopsis on that issue. It doesn't seem to me to be relevant that a neighbor today believes there's sewer issues associated with Karma.
All right, Mr. Foster, before I make a ruling, anything else you'd like to add about this particular email?
Well, it tends to rebut what the expert said, although I recognize that this email indicates that there was a backup in 2018. But regardless, there's substantial information that's similar in the record.
Well, I'm not going to allow that as evidence in this case. I'm looking again at the evidence that the county relied upon to issue its notice and order, not to new evidence that's been developed since the notice and order. You can't be a moving target in that sense to the appellant. Whereas on the other side, the appellant can certainly issue whatever or submit whatever evidence they want attacking the evidence of the county that the county used to rely upon in issuing its notice and order. If the county had expert testimony to attack and rebut any expert testimony submitted by the appellant, that would be a totally different matter. But in this case, I'm not going to allow that evidence.
Okay, thank you, sir. Well, as I said, there's significant evidence in the record about complaints backing up the sewer system. And I think Karma Canyon themselves have admitted that the grease trap, which is the subject of the violation, was not installed until 2019 at the earliest. So that aspect should be upheld. We have reviewed the files, staff have reviewed the files and not found any evidence that mechanical permits were ever issued or applied for until subsequently. In regards to the equipment in the kitchen, the hood vent fan, and then the traffic impact study and so forth. There's other evidence in the record that those things were not submitted until this enforcement action began or until these concerns were brought up. Now, the expiration of the permits is also an issue here. Chelan County Code 1193.110 says a CUP is void after 3 years if the use is not fully developed. It provides for extensions past this. Now, the appellants want to strain the interpretation of this and basically give open-ended license to non-compliance with the conditions of the CUP. Of course, in the term developed, there's the implication that are fully developed, there is the implication that the use must be legal and all the conditions of the CUP must be met. This does not mean that you can have as long as you want to fully develop a use. It's not an open-ended application. The intent, of course, of the framers of the statute were to allow expiration after a period of 3 years if the conditions were not met. Now, to turn a little bit back to what I was talking about, non-conforming uses, the codes that I have submitted with my briefing that are just law, they're not particularly evidence, but I submitted them for convenience. From 2004, 2009, and today, have consistently banned restaurants in residential zones. This is a restaurant operation. it's banned. That's as simple as that. To the extent that there's other operations that are similar in the area, I can't speak for what code enforcement intends to do, but it would be the position that those operations are likely also illegal, assuming that they're under the same conditions as Karma Canyon is. Now, the appellants say that the 2011 code enforcement action in regards to the 2008 CUPs somehow stops the county from arguing that the 2008 CUPs expired. I can't speak to what the staff at that time was intending to do, but of course the 2008 CUPs expired and the 2012 CUPs expired, which had amended the 2008 ones, or were in addition to the 2008 ones. They expired after 3 years without being fulfilled. I appreciate that Mr. Hawkins is here to provide his testimony. I respectfully disagree that he really didn't say that the intent of the board at the time was to allow these restaurant operations. He simply doesn't agree with pursuing enforcement in this case. And I'd urge you, Mr. Hearing Examiner, to reject that testimony as irrelevant or with very little weight, because it really doesn't have anything to do with the matter at hand, which is whether these code enforcement actions are valid. The simple fact is many members of the community are upset with the Karma Canyon being there, as admitted by Ms. Pitzinger with the petition and so forth. But there are specific complaints in regards to sewage, noise, and so forth.
Mr. Foster, I don't know that you're going to get around to the elephant in the room, so I'm just going to ask you point blank. And it's an issue that was raised by the appellant. And if the county's position is that the 2008 permits are void, how could they possibly bring an enforcement action and not raise that issue at that time? That's number one. And then in number two, we again have the amendments that we're now saying are void. Once again, actions of the county seem to be inconsistent with that, with your current position. So the bottom line is, if the permits or the amended permits are void, why would you take how could you amend, if you will, a permit that has already been determined by the county to be, that is now being determined by the county to have been void?
I would say that I don't know what their intent was at that time, but that the staff never should have allowed an amendment to what should have been determined to be a void CUP at the time. I don't know if they didn't catch it, that it was void, but they allowed the amendment. But the bottom line is, it's largely a moot point because the restaurant operation has never been legal.
That's going to be the elephant in the room that I asked the appellant about. But what I'm getting at is, does the county believe that their actions in doing code enforcement against permits, let's just go start with the beginning, is it inconsistent with your position now that those permits were invalid? And I understand you saying, let's look back. I don't know what their intent was back then. We just know what the action is. And is that action inconsistent with the county's current position that those permits were expired?
It may be inconsistent, but it, like I said, it could have been a mistake in the past. All we can do now is try to correct that mistake by enforcing the law as we see it now.
All right, thank you.
If I can go on.
Yes.
I'd like to introduce a witness, Mr. David Spencer. And I'll do this kind of, I'm a prosecutor, so I like to do it questioning style, if that's okay.
That's just fine. So I need to have you state your name and an address, and then I'm going to put you under oath.
I'm David Spencer. I'm the Chelan County Building Official. Address, you my physical address, sir?
Your work address is fine, yeah.
Okay, 316 Washington Street, Suite 301.
And how do you spell your last name, sir?
S-P-N-C-E-R.
All right, thank you. Would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much. And proceed, Mr. Foster.
All right, what's your current occupation?
My current occupation is building official for Chelan County.
How long have you held that?
Approximately 19 months.
Okay. To your knowledge, were there complaints about grease coming out of the Carmen Canyon facility?
Yes, I have received concerned complaints from the sewer district related to issues with regards to grease.
Do you require grease interceptors for all commercial kitchens?
Yes, grease traps are required as a part of the plumbing permit.
To your knowledge, has Carmen received a plumbing permit?
They have not during my time, and I can find no record of a permit being applied for or issued.
Okay. Have you determined that waste pre-treatment is required for this type of operation?
Yes, it is required in accordance with the plumbing code, which is adopted statewide and subsequently adopted by Chelan County Municipal Code.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
All right, thank you.
So
I don't have any questions for Mr. Spencer.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. I think I've covered most of the points I'd like to make. At this point, I would like to just ask that the hearing examiner uphold the violations as valid. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Green, are you ready? Do you have any rebuttal that you would like to submit?
I do. So in response to a couple of the items or points raised by Mr. Foster, I think the county's argument as against Karma's operations being a non-conforming use relies on a distinction that the RR 2.5 zone has never allowed a restaurant. But the RR 2.5 zone did allow, starting in 2008 from 2018, on-site food preparation, on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverages for activities and uses that are accessory to places of public and private assembly. And that food and beverage service definition was added to the definition of winery. So Mr. Foster is correct that a standalone restaurant that is not tied to a winery would be and always has been precluded in that zone. And that is not what the commissioners approved in 2008 when they adopted the resolution. They did approve as part of that resolution on-site preparation and service and consumption of food or ancillary restaurant activities tied to a winery. And that distinction is very important because there was Karma is not a standalone restaurant. It is on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverage activities tied to its winery operations. So it is a restaurant that is tied to its winery operations, which was allowed between 2008 and 2018. And there are a number of other wineries in the area. I think I already pointed out Siren Song, which similarly has a full service on-site food preparation operations tied to its winery, as does Lake Chelan Winery. And so there are a number of wineries in the area that took advantage of that approval of the commissioners to have on-site preparation and service and consumption of food tied to their winery. So Mr. Foster is correct that a standalone restaurant is not allowed and was never allowed, but that's not what Karma's operation is. It is on-site food preparation and service tied to its winery.
So I... I understand your position, but I can also understand the county's position that that reading of on-site food preparation as an accessory used to a winery, that can still be separate from a restaurant. And I think your argument is, no. From 2008 to 2018, that definition could basically be a restaurant, and we could have, you know, a 500 seat restaurant here, as long as we are storing or making wine. And I'm not, I guess your elephant in the room is, I'm not sure that having a definition of a restaurant and having a definition of an accessory use of food preparation are inconsistent, that I think that a restaurant, I think what you're saying, that on-site food preparation is essentially a restaurant as an accessory use to a winery. And I'm not sure that it goes that far. So that's your elephant in the room, is basically to tell me why, or explain to me why on-site food preparation can be a restaurant just because it's tied to a winery.
So I think that's just based on the clear terms of that resolution. On-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverages. I don't know how else to interpret that. I mean, that is fully consistent with what Karma's operations are.
Why not just call it a restaurant then? I mean, that's my point. Why not just say a restaurant accessory to a winery?
I think Buell can speak to that that issue.
Mr. Konkamp, I was part of the deliberations that created that definition back in 2008. And what I would tell you is that we as commissioners never made a distinction in our minds between a so-called restaurant and on-site food preparation, consumption, and use adjacent to a winery. We saw a restaurant as a standalone, separate operation, entirely separate from a winery, and we saw what the wineries were doing, which there are many of them in Chelan County, that provide on-site food preparation, service, and consumption along with their wine tasting. So our intent was never to preclude what Karma was doing then and is doing now.
All right, I understand that, but my point being that you could have just used the word restaurant. You meant something else other than a restaurant. That's why you didn't use the term restaurant. That's the only obvious thing that you can come away with this, is that restaurant is supposed to be something different than the on-site food preparation.
And I think I want to speak to that, Mr. Kotkamp, because I want to point out that there's standalone definitions. There is restaurant and there is winery. And the definition of winery was what was amended to include the food and beverage service, to include on-site preparation service and consumption of food and beverages. So the two things were tied together. So there was still a standalone restaurant definition. And then the commissioners, as stated by the staff, added food and beverage service to the definition of winery, which included on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverages. So there are two different things. There's a restaurant, and then there's a winery that includes those functions. And that's exactly what Karma did in this case, and what a number of other wineries in the area did as well. And I think even if the hearing examiner accepts the county's position that a restaurant is not allowed, at a minimum, then we do know that Karma has legal nonconforming use as of its operations between 2008, if we accept the county's position that the permits are expired, as of 2008 or between 2015 and 2018, it's not in doubt then that they would be allowed to continue operating a winery with on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverages for activities and uses that are accessory to places of public and private assembly. So at a minimum, we have that. And it's up to the hearing examiner, I guess, on that issue to decide, well, what does that mean if it's not a restaurant? they are grandfathered in for on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food. And so that, I think the county doesn't dispute that issue. Apparently they are disputing the operation of just the restaurant. But again, our position is that those are two different things. A restaurant is a standalone venue, not ancillary to a winery. A winery as of 2008 included food and beverage service, on-site preparation, service, consumption of food. So they're two different animals. I want to respond to a couple other points that Mr. Foster raised. I think early on in his testimony, he noted that there had been over the years complaints from the community, and that, and his quote was, the community wants to see problems are corrected. That is exactly what Karma is trying to do. Karma has endeavored to correct any issues. Whenever it's gotten a notice from the county that there's an issue, it wants to correct the issues. It does not want to be shut down. They've gone to great lengths to comply with all the conditions. They spent a great amount of money on inspecting, evaluating the plumbing systems. And again, we've said repeatedly that to the extent the hearing examiner determines that there are plumbing issues to code, or that there's permits either for the plumbing or the mechanical systems that are required, we're ready, willing, and able to do that. And we will do that. We've tried to do that, and the county has told us they won't accept it. All of the evidence as to the sewer system issues, as you noted in your Q&A with Mr. Foster, Karma has provided expert testimony. Karma has provided two professionals, their reports, and the documentation for their inspection that showed that the sewer issues are not tied to Karma. The evidence on the county side is that it's neighbors who have experienced a backup, or it's testimony or a letter from an attorney asserting that Karma's issues are, or Karma's system is causing these sewer issues. But the expert testimony on that demonstrates that Karma is not responsible for those issues. And again, I would just repeat that if in the future the county does have an expert or otherwise that demonstrates that there is some issue with Karma's system, we're ready, willing, and able to make any adjustments to the system that need be. But that's not what the evidence in the record shows. I also wanted to correct the timeline in Mr. Foster's statement. The grease trap was installed in 2018. And that was immediately after the November 9th, 2018 correction notice. Mr. Foster had indicated 2019, but it was actually 2018 when that was installed. And then as to the issue of the status of the original CUPs, I do want to point your attention to the compliance letter that was sent by Ms. Hallman, July 25th, 2011, which is in the file. And just demonstrate some quotes from that letter that really show that the county's position today is wholly inconsistent with their position in 2011. The letter demanded that compliance with CUP 2005-008 and CUP 2005-009 must be achieved. That's one quote from the letter, clearly indicating that the conditions of that CUP are still in effect in 2011, which is contrary to the claim in the staff report that those CUPs expired in August of 2008. The county demanded that Karma immediately cease and desist the food service and or preparation to that of a restaurant on the premises as conditioned per the original CUPs. There's multiple references in the 2011 letter to Karma that demanded compliance with the permits, and none that stated that they were expired. If they were expired, Karma would not have sought an amendment to the CUP. It would have been grandfathered in as an outright permitted use based on the resolution that was adopted by the commissioners, and it would not have had to go through the exercise of seeking an amendment to the permits from you, because it would have been grandfathered in, or not grandfathered in at that time. It would have been allowed outright at that time. Again, on the... I think I've already said that if, to the extent that the hearing examiner determines there are mechanical permits or plumbing permits that are applicable, we are ready, willing, and able to apply for those. We have said the same to staff, and the staff has directed us not to submit those permit applications based on its position that the uses are not authorized whatsoever. And again, yeah, so overall, I would just reiterate that Karma wants to be in compliance. Karma wants to be a lawful business. It wants to comply. If there are any legitimate issues with its plumbing system, it's ready, willing, and able to do that. It took the notice of violation issued in 2019 very seriously. It immediately hired me, and we responded with all the requests in that application or in that notice of violation. In a good faith effort, Karma incurred $7,000 in costs to obtain the amended traffic impact study in a good faith effort to respond to that outstanding condition. It at all times has taken notices from the county seriously and wants to be in compliance. And we would just ask that you reverse the violation order and allow this business to continue to operate. This is a significant issue, and it would be a significant impact on not just the Pitzinger's livelihood, but the livelihood of employees, and would set a poor precedent for other wineries and businesses moving forward. If this is the type of enforcement violation that's allowed to continue, it puts a number of other wineries and businesses at risk of loss of their longstanding operations. It's a very significant issue. To the extent that there are any legitimate outstanding conditions, that there are any code issues, Karma, is ready, willing, and able to comply with those. So we would ask that you reverse the violation order and allow Karma's activities, its business, to continue. Do you have any questions for me or for any of the witnesses here today?
No, I don't. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Is there anything further from the appellant?
Nothing further from us. Thank you.
All right. A little out of character or usual for me, but Mr. Foster, any remarks? And then I'll go back to you, Ms. Green, as well. But any closing remarks, Mr. Foster?
Sure. I'd like to address one point. Title 16 precludes accepting new applications where active violations exist. That's the reason that the county has done that. They're saying they're ready, willing, and able to do everything that to come into compliance, except to shut down, which is what the law requires in this case. I would just reiterate that the plain language of the code states that restaurants and the plain language of the CUP states that a restaurant has never been allowed in this location. This is not, again, some effort to come after Karma at all. I can't speak to any other ongoing enforcement actions, but if any are in violation, then we certainly have the option of pursuing those. But the reason that Karma in particular has been pursued is because there have been ongoing complaints and ongoing issues with compliance. We're a complaint-based system of code enforcement. It's simply not true that this is some sort of unfair attack on one particular operation. The other thing I'd like to point out, I'm sure as you know, Mr. Hearing Examiner, the Chelan County Code in Title III adopts the International Mechanical Code, the Uniform Plumbing Code, the International Fire Code, and I believe one or two others that are relevant to this. So it by reference incorporates them, and that's the basis for these violations that were alleged.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. Green?
Yeah, just one last response. I don't want to repeat all the testimony that we've previously given, but the county is incorrect. The law does not require Karma to shut down. There are two different bases. One is that the county is citing an incorrect standard for what determines that a CUP is void or expired. The standard is whether or not the use is fully developed. That's the standard that was used by the hearing examiner pulled directly from the code. The standard is not timely satisfaction of all conditions. The county can deal with outstanding conditions or unsatisfied conditions via enforcement action. And then the applicant or property owner is obligated to satisfy those conditions, which is exactly what we did in this case. But the county wants to go a step further and remove the right to continue the permits whatsoever. Karma has complied with all the outstanding conditions and its permits are not expired. Even if its permits are expired, Karma has the right to continue as a legal non-conforming use, operation of its winery, including food and beverage service, which includes on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverages for activities and uses that are accessory to places of public and private assembly. At a minimum, even if we accept the county's position on the expiration of the permits, at a minimum, Karma has the right to continue as a legal non-conforming use under that 2008 resolution. And again, we understand the county's position that it was rejecting our compliance submittals and permit applications under Title 16. But again, that was based on the county's position that the permits themselves are void, which we wholly disagree with and which we think would have ripple effects for other businesses in the area as well. Our position would be that first the hearing examiner should determine that the CUPs are not expired and that Karma has timely complied with the conditions and that therefore the violation order should be reversed. Or secondarily, in the alternate, the hearing examiner, if he determines that the permits are expired, then the hearing examiner should still reverse the violation order based on the finding that Karma is a legal non-conforming use under Resolution 2008-141, which it operated between 2008 and 2018 as a winery, again, which included on-site preparation, service, and consumption of food and beverages. Do you have any further questions for us? Answer
nope. Anything from the witnesses? I don't. I have a lot of work to do, but I don't have any questions.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. I understand that there's a lot of materials. This is I've got a stack of papers myself, and so I certainly understand the volume of materials that have been submitted to you, and we appreciate your thorough review of those.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Green. Thank you, Mr. Foster. I am not going to keep the record open. I'm going to close the record at this time. On this matter, I've made certain evidentiary rulings that will continue forward. But I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. If, as I'm going through this, I realize that I'm not going to be able to make it in that time, I will contact both attorneys and request an extension. But my goal is to have a decision out within the next 10 working days. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Kotkamp.
You're welcome. There are no other items on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this October 21, 2020 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. And again, thank you all for coming. I appreciate your participation. This meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy.